Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend. So we have this picture painted for us in the gospel today of two people that go to the temple to pray. And the temple wasn't necessarily an easy place to get to. You had to walk to the temple, and to walk to the temple, then you had to walk up a hill to get to the top of the Temple Mount. So it took a certain amount of effort to make your way to this place to pray. So he went there to pray, or they both went there to pray. And why did they go to that particular place to pray? Because the temple is where God dwelt with his people. That was the whole kind of notion of the temple in Judaism, was that God dwelt with his people in this place, the holy place. Still to this day, the Jews, they don't have the temple anymore. It was destroyed in the year 70, but the mount on which the temple was built is still there. And they go to the closest place that they're allowed to get, and they go there and they pray still. And so this man goes up to the Temple Mount to pray. And I noticed this when I was reading the gospel. The Pharisee, he took up his position like he had a place that he would go pray. Like he had his pew, right? He had his place. And he went to his place. And he stood there at this closest place he could get to God, to God's dwelling there, this symbolic place of God's presence. And he begins his prayer, and he doesn't even talk to God. It says he said to himself. He gets there and starts to talk to himself. And it's like he's talking to God, but he's not really talking to God. He took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Oh, I thank you that I am not like the rest of these people here, greedy and dishonest and adulterous. And then he points one out particularly. I'm glad I'm not like him. Glad I'm not like him. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. So that's one picture of these two people praying. Now the Pharisee, these things that he did, they're not bad things. Those are good things. Those are noble things, to go to the temple, to give generously from his income, to take time to fast. Those are good and noble practices if we do them for the glory of God. But if we do them for the glory of us, they're building a wall between us and God, and we're just kind of self-focused. And that's what happened to the poor Pharisee in this story. So he goes up like he's going to talk to God, but he ends up just having a conversation with himself. And in his conversation with himself, he's judging and belittling others and congratulating himself. And he does not go away from that encounter with God justified. He's going to go away from that encounter with God condemned, in a sense. Condemned to himself. And then he's contrasted with the other guy, the tax collector. And the tax collector stood off at a distance and did not even feel worthy to look up to heaven. In the first reading, we heard about the lowly, and the lowly's prayer pierces the heavens. Now, we don't get a lot of information about the rest of the lives of these two characters. All we know about them is one didn't pray to God and wasn't humble, and the other one did pray to God and was humble. Now, a tax collector would have been a person who was very tempted to be crooked, was commonly looked down upon by the rest of people, and maybe he was. Maybe he was crooked. Maybe he was cheating people, because that's what tax collectors did in those days. But maybe this was the beginning of the end of that for him. Maybe he was being changed by God's grace. And so there he stood. The Pharisee was proud. Pride. Pride was the first sin. And pride will hang on to the bitter end. Pride blinds us from our sinfulness. Pride takes our strengths and leads them to become problems. Pride gives us credit for all the gifts that God has given to us. It judges the weakness of others by criticizing them either openly or even just interiorly. Pride makes us vain about our intelligence, our achievements, our abilities, our status, our house, even our country, our nation, our football team. Pride can make us self-focused, rude, loud, sarcastic, belittling, judgmental. Pride attacks us. Pride is the root of other sins. And my brothers and sisters, when we come here today, we pray that God would heal us of our pride. I want to speak for just a moment about another one of the ways that pride tends to leak out of us. Pride leaks out of us by gossip. What do? When we gossip? We point out the faults of others, or we share and spread the faults of others. Sometimes gossip is so much a part of the world in which we live in and so kind of accepted and understood, we almost feel like we have an obligation, like a public service announcement, to share somebody else's fault or problem with somebody else, huh? Has that ever happened? I'm the only person that has ever been tempted to do that. We console ourselves with this idea. Well, it's true. Well, it's true. The church is very clear that it is not our job to condemn or point out or put down or spread the faults of others, even when they're true. Even if it's true, it's still gossip. So we have two sins that we're struggling against in the gospel today. One is pointing out the faults of others and sharing the faults of others, and the other is pride. There is a healthy appreciation of our worth and our talents and our abilities and our accomplishments. And in the second reading today, St. Paul speaks about himself. If you were listening, and I'm going to read it at length. I'm going to read almost the whole first part of the second reading. And Paul says, "Beloved, I am being poured out like a libation." Now, what is a libation? A libation is a sacrifice. And you don't sacrifice things that are bad. You sacrifice things that are good. Sacrifice things that are of value. And so Paul looks at his life. And he says, "My life is a sacrifice being poured out for God." He sees his value. He sees his goodness. And he goes on to say, "I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, a crown of righteousness awaits me, and the Lord, who is the just judge, will award it to me." Now, Paul is not being prideful. Paul is recognizing the gifts that God has given to him and that he has lived his life. When Paul recognizes the great goodness of God's generosity to him, he's more likely to be able to recognize the goodness in others. This call to see that everybody is made in the image and likeness of God. a healthy self-esteem, gives us a courageous spirit, a nobility, a generosity of mind. It helps us see others as good and noble and holy and point out the goodness in them. And if we do want to criticize them, it would be in a constructive way, a way that seeks in charity to bring out the best in them. Unfortunately, today we have a number of unhealthy tendencies in our culture. We seem to have almost an epidemic of narcissism. Narcissism is this self-love. It comes from a story, an old story from way back, where a young man saw his reflection in a pond. His name was Narcissus. And he saw his reflection in the pond and he thought, wow, look at him. Isn't he great? And he sat there and just looked at himself and fell in love with his own reflection. And that's where we get the word narcissistic from. And narcissism has this very unhealthy self-focus. And we forget common courtesy and kindness and generosity, and to say hello and to be open to speak to everybody. My brothers and sisters, there are two characters in the gospel today. The Pharisee who took up his position, if you will, at church, appeared to be a good church-going guy, but inside was just sort of selfish and judgmental. And I'm not pointing a finger at anybody here. I'm not putting anybody here down. I'm just telling you that's a temptation. That's a temptation of you good church-going folks, okay? To see some of the other people here maybe in the church with you, but especially the people that aren't here, and put them down or point out that they're weak or bad or whatever it might be. And so I challenge you today to have a healthy self-esteem, a healthy sense of the gift that God has given to you, but to also be open in your mind to see the goodness in others, and always aware that if the light of God's love is shining brightly upon us, we're going to see our faults. We're going to see our failings. We're going to see our weaknesses. And those are not reasons to be condemned. Those are reasons to do what? To repent and to say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so our church, in her wisdom, calls us here to repent and be transformed by the mercy of God. Lord, grant us all the humility of the tax collector, but grant us the discipline of the Pharisee to live a life of faith and practice our faith.